schus of our learning is when Elias and Shama for Abidai and Reb Shimon, our family, Simcha Nachas and Baruch.
Amen.
Okay, last Arab Shabbos we had a little Purim Cotton break. Let's return to the Sefer. On page Ayin Aleph, the Mechaber is speaking about the need and the beauty of having Hagbolas, Gulas, borders and boundaries in life. And even though the person intuitively feels that all of these boundaries and restrictions are keeping me from who I am and what I am, what is it that I want to do, but the truth of the matter is that all of the mitzvahs say, the mitzvahs loisa say, are remarkably and mysteriously designed davka to bring each and every Jew and the Jewish people to the etzem of who we are and who the person is. And not to take a person away, takes him away from what he feels like doing, but not from who he is. It brings him to the pnimius of who he is, which oftentimes, of course, is not the same as what he wants. It's very far from what he wants to do at that moment. So let's try to understand this on a deeper level. Let's go on page Ayin Aleph. On the bottom, the last paragraph on page Ayin Aleph. Al Kain, Novin, Shahag Bolosh Lathera Enim Chukim Shirusiyim. Many people feel that the halachas of the Torah are arbitrary, just that there's this ruler, this king that wants us to behave, and he gave us all of these things to do. So he doesn't forgive me that I should have, you know, a milkshake after supper. So he has this, he has these halachas, these things that begam lo chalila machsoimim shehunchum mitar hazarias. And all of these hakbalas, all of these limitations and restrictions are not blockages, are not things that were placed in our way because chalila, out of cruelty, kadei lachzeis b'neinu, b'nein devarim toivim, to keep us away from things that are enjoyable and things that are good. Shiru'iyim lanu, shekoiches b'seichenu choshkim hem, things that are good for us and things that we feel very much that we would like to have. Next page. With all these hakbolas, with all the lo seses, the negative commandments, and the thousands of drabonins, and Akash Baruch Hu is telling us that I want you to be able to experience the ultimate good of who you are. And that if we're not going to live in this way, we're not going to be able to bring out who we are el hapoel. Zumashmos hagvulos v'atzivuyim shel Torah. This is the meaning of the restrictions, the boundaries, and the mitzvahs of the Torah. Loi tachtivim chitzonim, not like somebody just dictating, just telling you something to do, instructions milamala. Ela teilodah shel havana ma'amika b'zehus shelanu. But it comes from the only one who knows our true identity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'misha Nachnu Be'emes, who knows who we really, really are, V'hadrocha Toivah V'Ohevis, and it's the best hadrocha, and it's a hadrocha that's of love, HaMenateves Eisanu, El Hashveinu V'Aslachenu Aslachasem, that brings us on the path towards our Hatzlacha. Before we learn the next parak of the Maimer, I want to just to stop for a few minutes to explain a little bit in Pnimius what we're talking about over here, because it's really a tremendous, tremendous yisod. The words are very simple, but the yisod is a tremendous yisod. So let's talk about a bracha that we just made in that we said this morning in davening, and we say it in every single Shemoneh Esrei by Al Tzadik, and we ask Hashem b'sein socha tov lechol abotchem shimcha be'emes. We ask Hashem b'sein socha tov to give good reward. B'sein socha tov lechol abotchem shimcha be'emes. To all of you who have, to all of us, to all who have true trust in Hashem, b'shimcha be'emes, in your name. And then we say, b'simchel keni imahem. So let's pay careful attention to the words that we say all the time. So first we're talking, we say, b'sein sochat al-duchal b'adchem b'shimcha be'emes. Hashem, give a good reward to all those Jews who trust in you. And it sounds like I'm not one of them, right? When you're saying the words, you're talking about, you're talking about other people. You're saying, give a good reward to those fine Jews who I know that they really trust in you. And then, that's what it seems to be saying. So we say, v'simchalkeinu, what? imahem. V'simcha ken imahem. It is, please Hashem, help me to be among those people. I also want to trust in you. So it sounds like we're talking about Yanim, about somebody else. V'simcha ken imahem. But then afterwards you say, ulo'il v'lo'i nevayish kivucha batachnu. Listen to the words. So now all of a sudden, who's part of this whole beautiful world of Bitachon? Me. It's an interesting thing. Think about the words. Think about how we think. We're talking about tzaddikim and chassidim. These tzaddikim, these chassidim, are boichim b'shimcha b'emes. And I'm asking Rabbi Shalom, the simcha kene, I want to be one of those people. I want to be one of those Jews that really trusts in you. So it sounds like we're talking about tzaddikim and chassidim and other people, and then I'm not a Baal Bitachon. I would like to be one, but then we end and we say the chassidim is we finish up and we say loy nevoish kivucha batachnu, but I'm not going to give up. You know why? Because I'm a Baal Bitachon. So what do you mean b'simcha keni imahem? But then I'm saying loy nevoish kivucha batachnu. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? Most of the tzaddikim talk about this. What's this interesting thing, the way that we love? Which is actually, it's a tremendous insight. It's not just about bitachon, it's with all midas. One of the things that I was strongly recommending when the whole thing with COVID, when it came out, I was pushing very strongly for people to learn Chavos Levavos Shaar Bitachon. Even if you already learned it, but it's something that, especially at a time when we are struggling with very big challenges, so you have to learn Shaar Bitachon. And by the Milchama, also, same prescription. You have to learn, everybody has to learn Shaar Bitachon, have to learn Shaar Bitachon. So there are two ways that a person can learn Shaar Bitachon. But it's not just about Bitachon, but I'm using it because of the Bracha. But there are two ways you can learn Shaar Bitachon. One is, I'm really, really scared. Things are going crazy. Things are crazy in the world. I know people are dying. It looks like the Malach HaMavis is running around. I really have a problem with my Bitachon. I don't feel that I have Bitachon. And I need a prescription for Bitachon. Okay, here's your little settle. Go to the Swarm store, get yourself the latest Shaar Bitachon from the Chavos Levavos. Take this, and hopefully it'll help you. So that's one way of looking at it. Is there another way? Of course there's another way, because that's not the right way. The right way is to look at it as follows. The emes is Rabbi Shalom, I'm a Baal Bitachon. The truth of the matter is, I already have Bitachon in you. I just don't feel it. I don't know that I have it. I'm a Yid, so I have Bitachon. Not only do I have Bitachon, I also have Simcha. I have Amunah. I have a kol midah nechayna. I have all of those fantastic things. I have kedusha. I am the happiest person in the world. I am the biggest Baal Bitachon. I'm the biggest Baal Amunah. My problem is, I don't feel these things. So I'm asking you, v'simchel keni imahim doesn't mean I'm not a Baal Bitachon, and I'm trying to acquire something that's outside of myself. It's a major mistake. The yisod of what we're learning here in Ayeka, the answering the question of Ayeka is, kol ma shata tzirich nimtzak v'abacha, everything that you need to become a tzaddik, everything that you need to be the best father, the best mother, the best husband, the best wife, the best son, the best daughter, the best friend, the best Jew, everything that you need, you already have inside of you. You are wired by the creator of all worlds with all of those things. There are tzaddikim chassidim that they're not shaking and crying and you know, every time they hear a plane, they're not, you know, running down to the basement or something. So I'm asking, b'simcha keni imayim. I want to live that way also. I want to live that kind of a life. This Mahalach of how to build oneself is what's strongly emphasized, especially in the Sifrei Chassidus, where the binyan of oneself does not come from Mashachaser Lecha. It doesn't come from a feeling of what's missing in my life. or from a perspective of emptiness, something that's outside of me, to say, I don't have bitachon. I don't have simcha. I don't have emunah. And now I need to get it, like somebody who's homeless who needs to somehow find a place to live. Or somebody who lives in a certain place, but he's not happy in that place, and he's got to find himself another place. It's a completely different perspective. It's not coming from a place of Masha Chaser Lecha. I have a home. I have a place. I have to experience that. I have to expand it. I have to experience it. So in other words, the avodah of building oneself up in all midas, in everything in life, the avodah is an avodah of building yourself up, starting from what you already have, not from something that you don't have. This is an avodah that's built on the two words of Sameach Bechelko. So when you're saying those words that B'sein Tochatol L'chol Bat Chabshim Chabayim Simchal Kenei Imahem, that I'm asking you, Bereshit, help me to be among those people who are living, who have found within themselves the emunah that I also have within myself. But they have found it, and they've brought it out b'poel in their lives, that they're actually living those, they're actually living that chelik that they have within them. Like the Gemara says in Brachas, that a person should always be in the way of, he should always live in a way of nois nahidor l'shava v'tzorik l'asid lava. That means that you should always be thankful for what you already have and what Hashem has done for you, and you should beg him and cry out to him for the future. But even it means with each person himself that you should be thankful to know that Elokai neshamash nesat b'tayri. And we say it every single morning we get up, we say, Moed anli v'nachem alachai v'kayim shechazat b'nishmasi. That you've given me back my neshama, and that I have this neshama. And if I have a nishmas Yisrael, it means that I have the capacity, I have within me the greatest joy in the world. Joy is not something I have to find outside, I have to go to some ashram to find. Ahava, love. So there's a famous, the Reb Shimon Shkop, in his Hakdama to Shari Yosef, a very famous Hakdama. So there in the Hakdama, Reb Shimon talks about the mitzvah of Ahavta Echad Kamoicha, to love another person as you love yourself. So he explains to Reb Shimon, how do you know that you have the ability to love another person? The Teretz is, because you already love somebody, that's yourself. So loving another person is only expanding. It's only another room in your house. It doesn't mean you have to, you're a horrible, disgusting, negative, hateful person, and you have to go to some master to teach you what it means to love. Or you have to acquire this midah of ahava. That's not a Jewish mahalach. You're a yid. For some reason, it's not a Yisrael, it's different. But a yid has the midah of ahava. It's called chesed. It's one of the spheres. And each one of us has within us that midah of Hashem is barach, mahu afata. We have an infinite capacity for love, an infinite capacity for chesed. And that Rav Shimon says that you don't have to try to be mechadish some koach of ahava. You already have love inside of you. You have to learn how to be megala that ahava. You have to bring that out. What he's saying here is that Hashem Shabbat gave us pathways, mahalchim and drachim, of how to draw out those midas of Hashem, Hashem, Karachim, Achan, of what Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayit, Yisoid, Malchus. Hashem as well gave us the mitzvahs of Torah and all the mitzvahs that we have in the Reis and Rabbanim to draw all of that out. So when you say in the morning, Elokai Neshom Neshasata B'Tahirihi, those words, it means that a person has to begin every day. Hashem as well wants us to begin every day. I know it sounds very simple, but it's so important to remember this, that you have to begin every day looking at yourself like a gvir. Like a gvir, mamash a gvir, or a gvirta. Like looking at yourself as the richest person. As a rich person, that's what it means to be Sameach Bechelko. As mamash, as a gvir, as a tremendous gvir. Not as a piece of disgusting and filthy dirt. An offer man hadama. But moi denu fanamach, chai v'kaim, shech zvatni nishmazi, v'chemla, rabba, rabba amunasacha, rabba amunasacha. It's a whole different way of looking at oneself. So what you find very often is that when people become serious about their Yiddishkeit and they want to go into Avodas Hashem in a very earnest way, we learned about this a lot when we learned Aris HaTshuva from Rav Kook, that when a person's beginning to become a serious Avodas Hashem or Avodas Hashem, they become very, very far from themselves. And they're very, oftentimes they're very, very firm in the beginning. There's a terrible term that's being used a lot for this new chev. There's nothing been written to my knowledge about this new part of our firm world that's called flip-outs, which we have a whole bunch of them right here. So, flipping out. I'm actually like one of the originals. I was raised by an Orthodox. So I come from a European background. They're not exactly, it's not exactly the same because they're, you know, Munkach, and it's a different world that I originally come from. But there was a break and after the war, and I wasn't raised. So I'm one of the original. I had to hide my hat in the garage. I came back. My mother didn't want me wearing a hat. She was very upset wearing a hat. She had a different cheshmer. She thought I was going to get beaten up on the street, and she didn't care about the religious side things. That didn't bother her at all. But she was afraid that I shouldn't look too Jewish. Just so it's all right if you wear it in shul, but don't walk around with it. They're going to bother you. So, but this whole metzias of a beautiful, sincere, gewaldig and holy, especially you know, a young person that grew up not living Torah mitzvahs in the best way necessarily. But not because their parents are not good people. Parents are wonderful people. It's just over the doors, things happen, and that's kachas. I'm not going into it, but the parents didn't raise with certain things. So now something like happened over the years. Now we look at this young man. Now he's married, and it's August, and it's 104 degrees, and he's walking around on Shabbos with a stroller, wearing his hat and tie, you know, or if he wants a chassidic version and a gartel, and someone has to come along and tell him, you know, it's okay to take off your hat when you're taking the baby out for a walk. It's okay. So there are two things that are going on here. One is a lack of mesora, and becoming like and flipping out, like not knowing exactly the balance. Those things that are big things, those things are little things. Just knowing that I'm not my parents, and I'm going to be the firmest guy, you know, in the building, or the firmest guy in the block, and adapting certain things that you saw in Yerushalayim. Or you saw in B'nai Brak, or you read about in books, and you want to be a tzaddik, so now you're flipping out, and now you're going to be the frumbest and the best and everything. And the problem with many of this chaver, because I'm friends with a lot of them, the problem is that at some point later on, it's like, oh, yeah, what did I get myself into? And even if they don't talk about it, they don't know how to go back from that, and oftentimes they become angry and bitter with their wives, with their husbands, you know. Because there's like Rav Kook spoke about this, the desire to do tshuva is the holiest thing in the world. But Hashem Yisbarach wants you to do tshuva, to return to yourself, and by way of yourself, to return to Him. And that's why he writes in Aser Tshuva that you cannot really return to Hashem unless you return to your own neshama. But the problem with the flip-outs, again, forgive me for using that terrible term, but the problem with the flip-outs is that they don't trust themselves. Because they see themselves as being, you know, from the modern Orthodox school that was doing all kinds of nasty things when I was in high school, and now I got very firm. So now I'm so firm that I can't say Good Shabbos to my female cousin, and all the other things that bizarre things that go on in that beautiful little world of flip out hood. And again, I'm saying this with the warmest feelings of affection and. And I'm speaking for myself. You know, back then, there were very few people that were doing that, you know, 50 years ago. But I had decided I was going to, because I went to a chassidic shtibel, and I was going to become, you know, I was going to become, and then my cousin would come up, I'd try on the chassidic clothing. When I was a little kid, I was really starting to look for something, you know, from what was before the Milchama, and I'm going to bring it back, and so on and so forth. And I don't regret it. I don't regret that. But I felt within myself, as I was getting older, that there were some very basic, essential things within myself that were good. Just because I was wearing a nitty yarmulke doesn't mean that I wasn't a good person. And because of a certain new frumkeit that I got, I was not being particularly nice to my non-religious cousins, and I wasn't being particularly I wasn't being consistent with the person who I wanted to be, especially when it came to Ben Alma Chaveiro. And I was hurting my mother's feelings with certain chumas that I came home with. And even though my mother was totally open to me introducing certain chumas into the family, but the way that I did it wasn't nice. I wasn't being nice about it. Because the yisod of being a flip out is Yiddishkeit is something which is outside of you and you got to get it. And who are the ones that have it? Other people. So I got to find it and get it from the Rebbe, from the Rebbetzin, from this talk, from people. I got to get it from them. But then what happens is that you can't get simcha from somebody else. You can only get it from yourself, you know? So that's when it's like a rude awakening. You're able to get a hat from the hat store. And you can go to the Shramamacher and he'll be happy to sell you a nice Shram. And you can go to the seamstress and she'll get you a skirt that not only covers your knees, it covers everybody else's knees in the whole neighborhood. And you get black tights and you can imagine yourself to be, and you're gonna, and you want to marry, you say, I'm only going to marry someone's going to be a Rosh Hashiva. All of those things. But you can't buy happiness in the happiness store. You can only buy it from within yourself. So what happens very often, I'm talking about this because I had a whole conversation the other day with a young man, and it's been on my mind, so that's why I'm plugging you into what we're learning. But it is what we're learning, but it's on my mind. But this inyan of losing yourself, of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, as the expression goes, is a very, very real one, and it hasn't really been discussed, to my knowledge, or written about. But there are many, many parents that know that this is what's happening to their kids. And there are many kids that grow into adults and in their marriages are suffering from this. And their own Yiddishkeit begins to suffer from the search for the perfect Jew, but outside of themselves. The perfect Jew is inside of yourself. That's the perfect Jew. That doesn't mean you don't have to adjust certain activities in your life, of course. And make changes. But the changes have to be changes that grow from within you. It's things that you absorb in your learning, things that you see within yourself, and it doesn't have to be something that it's not to impersonate or to imitate, but to grow within yourself. I know this is a longer path. It's a longer path. But it's a short, longer path, like the Alter Rebbe speaks about in the introduction to Tanya. It's a long, shorter path, just to be more patient, and to make sure that your return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't leave you someplace behind. Because then you might end up marrying someone that's not really for you. And you might end up trying to raise kids that it's not really you. It's somebody else that's raising them, it's not you. And this is a tremendous yisod in Avodas Hashem. So when you say the brach in the morning, Elokai neshama shesata be tahara, it means that you have within you tahara and kedusha. You're wired for it. You have all of those good things inside of you. And moida ani lefanacha shehechazata be nishmasi. My neshama, not Yenim's neshama, not somebody else's neshama. My neshama. It was to answer the question yourself. Ayaka Hashem asks you personally. Individually, Ayaka. And you say Nisana Toikiv, we all say Nisana Toikiv Ayantiv, and Nisana Toikiv we say that Marvid Sonya Tachashivtai, that each person has to go before Hashem's eyes individually as yourself. You don't come in with your whole chevra. You come in by yourself. Marvid Sonya Tachashivtai, Kivakaras Roya Edra, Marvid Sonya, who are you? Who are you? I want you. I don't want you as an impersonation of somebody else, to imitate somebody else. And just because that Rebbe, in his house, he went there for Shabbos, and they all have a certain thing, you know, so now you come back and you're not going to, you know, you're going to be careful with Chodesh, with Yashon, or with Chalv Yisrael. Those are good things, but might not be for you right now. And you might grow resentful or angry by adapting certain things that you're not holding by at all. Besides, you could be hurting your parents and other people in your life and acting in ways that are not who you really are. Does that mean that you should, that anything, so therefore you should do whatever you feel like doing? Of course not. Hashem gave us mitzvahs. He gave us a way to live. And each person needs to have proper hadracha to follow Torah mitzvahs in the way that he and she, where you're holding it, and to try that it should be something which is custom designed for your growth in Avodas Hashem, not because you're just trying to be like somebody else. You're trying to imitate somebody else. Which that inyan of imitation was something which was loathsome in the eyes of the tzaddikim, especially the Baal Shem HaKadosh, Tamei Baal Shem, to imitate and to impersonate something which was to them was the lowest thing. The thing has to be dafka like this. Avodas Hashem doesn't have to be dafka like this. And a person has to realize that Yiddishkeit is something that is there inside of you. Simcha is inside of you. You can't get it from anybody else. You can't get it by somebody else. You can hear inspiring talks. You can listen to happy music, but then the music stops. And at the end of the day, when you go to sleep, it's you and the Rabbi Shalom, and there's the music has stopped. And simcha is not something you can get from something. So your Rebbe could tell you that you have to have these kind of tzitzis, you have to dress like this, you have to talk like this, you have to act like this, everything exactly like him, you have to do exactly like this, and then you'll be happy. How come it didn't work? The Teretz is, he's him and I'm me. Not that he was saying bad things. Those are good things, and it worked for him. It doesn't necessarily work for me. Now, I'm not saying you can't say that by tefillin. Your Rebbe says put on tefillin, you can't say that worked for him, doesn't work for me. That works for every Jew. That's what we're talking about. All of these things of Torah mitzvahs works for everybody. Ech, how, when, right? In what way to do it. These all come from madrigas of self-awareness. That's not anything that, at least when I was growing up, that we never spoke about, that we never heard about. There's never an inyan. Ayeka was the only one who was ever asked Ayeka was Adam Rishon, that's it. I never heard Hashem asking me, Ayeka, where are you in all of this? Where are you? Who are you? Who are you? The Baruch Shalom wants each and every one of us to act in a way that's proper and that's dignified, but be careful not to let go of yourself. So she would never ever want him to be seen like in a grocery store. Since he became, Rav, it's not proper, it's not dignified. Look, I don't like going to the grocery store either. I was actually there yesterday and I met somebody from the shul, but I have a different reason for that. First of all, I don't know my way around. I get confused. That's number one. It got very big. When I grew up, we stopped in a makola. It got very big. That's number one. Number two is I really enjoy getting back to my learning, and I don't mind doing something if I have to. And my wife sends me, I'm happy to do it. But I don't want to have to stop in every aisle and have conversations with people about why the Holocaust happened. I'm just looking for my wife sent me to get some Petrushka. I don't want to talk about the Holocaust. I want to get home and go back to learning. I don't want to talk to you. So these are different reasons I have. I'm just being honest. I hope you don't. I don't want to talk between the aisles and I see somebody, I have to run to the next aisle, and everybody knows that they'll find me by the soda anyway. So it's not because I don't want to go to the grocery, but it's beneath my dignity to go. You can lose yourself in this whole story. Of course, they have to be gedarim. I'm not going to go swimming with the guys. You understand? To go to a schwitz. Not because of my COVID, because it's not appropriate. And you have to have gvulim, according to the Torah, what the gvulim are. But akide kach that you can't loosen your tie or take it off. And you can't be yourself. I'd rather be a truck driver in a minute. And I did that, by the way, when I was younger. Yeah, I did for one summer. I would rather be a truck driver. Mamish. I'd rather be a truck driver. And I wouldn't be embarrassed at all. I wouldn't be embarrassed. There's nothing wrong. A yid goes and to make a living honestly, an eilecha person, but to make believe I'm somebody else. And the whole get up and the whole thing, and to put on a show. The Baruch Hu doesn't want such a thing. He wants us to be healthy and happy and normal people. And to believe when you say the words "Ma'ida ani lefanecha, Elokai neshama shesat to be tayri." And why is it so hard for you to like other people? You know why? Because you hate yourself. And because you hate yourself, you hate everybody else. That's why you look at everybody with an ayin ra, but you look down on other people, because you hate yourself. That's what Reb Shimon is saying. But v'ahavta le'reacha, if you love yourself, then kamaycha. It's not hard to love other people. It's just taking the mid of a hava that you have and using it. And where do you have the mid of a hava? Yourself. Because you appreciate that Hashem Mizbach created you, the person that you are, and you love yourself for who you are. And because you love yourself, it's very easy for you to love other people. But if you hate yourself and you look down upon yourself and you look at yourself as being a sheikh, it's not because or Russia or whatever, and that's how you look at yourself because you were indoctrinated by other people to look at yourself that way because you're not like them. So you look at yourself as being a sheikh. So now everybody else is a sheikh. So what did you gain by that? So that person made you into sheikhs and everybody else in your life is a sheikh. Because why? Because you weren't like that person that told you that you're a sheikh. He's a sheikh. The one who destroyed you. The one that told you the only way to be a Jew is like me. That's not the Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem is to be lakai neshama shesat to be tahiri. When you love yourself, you can love everybody else. When you hate yourself, you can't see good in anybody. It's the yisod of all avodas hamidus, of all avodah of changing. The only means to change ways of talking, of looking, of behaving, of acting. It doesn't mean to change chalila and to imitate someone else. And then you have what happens with a lot of that chaver is that they were happy, well-adjusted kids. They were okay. They weren't keeping Yiddishkeit 100%. They didn't know. And then when it comes to get married, they can't how to get married, who to marry. So because the teacher said, you have to say, I only want somebody that's like this. I have to have somebody that's like that. But that's not really who she wants. She just wants a happy, fun guy. But not have to marry the person who's like that, like the guy with the necktie up to here in the summer. I got to marry that guy. He's not like that, and you're not like that. So sometimes it works out. Because then when they get married, even though they thought they're marrying somebody else, when they get married, and they say, at one point they look at each other and say, you really go for this? And he says, no, do you? No. Okay, so then they can be happy again. So sometimes it works out. But it's not always so pushy to coordinate the two, you know, schedules, like to stop the game, stop the show at the same time. So you have one that stays, they're still staying in the game, you know, Mr. Fafrumt, staying in the game. She's already like, I don't know, I don't think this. But he's still in it. So then we have, then we have problems. Then we have clashes. Because it's very hard to figure out the exact day when each one decides, I don't think this is really me. It's very hard to do that, to coordinate. So you have the girls looking for somebody that's not really her. He's looking for somebody that's not really him. So sometimes they meet like that. But it's a dangerous path. It's not a healthy, normal path. And we did it to ourselves like this to make this whole Indian. So people being able to, used to be people would grow, people would evolve, people would change, people make decisions. But you had a certain sense of confidence in who you were, and a certain sense of security. And you don't have people bashing you, telling you that that's not the right way. You're not the right person. You're not the right person. You're not the right person. You have to be like me. You have to be like me. Be like me. By trying to be like you, I lost myself. And his wife's not happy with him either. So what did you gain? Shum davar. So the yisod of all avoda pnimis in midas and everything is the belief of ki v'char batachno. I am a bal bitachon. Therefore, we could say v'loy l'bloy nevoish ki v'char batachno. But what do you mean? I just was talking about bal bitachon. I'm also bal bitachon. What is that? You're a bal bitachon. Who made you into bal bitachon? Only your rebbe is a bal bitachon. Only the Chavos Lubavitch is a Bavi Tachon. Only the Yocharus is a Bavi Tachon. You're not. No. I'm also a Bavi Tachon. I have to work on that. I have to draw it out. Not to imitate, not to acquire. I have to be Megala, the Koyach Bavi Tachon. To be Megala, my Nisham. To draw it out. And that's what Shabbos Bach was trying to do. When he asked Adam Rishon, Ayaka, where are you? Did you get lost? You're listening to a snake. What are you dragging around with other chaver? I'm asking you where you are. And that question, as we learned from the very beginning, is asked, like Rav Kook says, is asked, each one of us is being asked that question all the time. So what happens to a guy that he wanted to impersonate some kind of a Rosh Hashiva, and he went that way into his marriage, and now he's 30 years old, and he's got 7 kids, and he's not really particularly excited about his learning anymore, and he's not so much into it, And at some point he's sitting in the Beis Medrash, or he's in the hallway having his 14th coffee for the day, and talking to somebody about the world and about the war, and he has a bas kol that says, calls out to him. Hashem says to him, Yankel, Ayaka, who are you? Where are you? And then if he feels, well, this is why. Is this really who you are right now? In your life, is this really who you are? Is ever really? So then, why aren't you happy? Why aren't you happy? And why aren't you sitting? Why are you out for your 14th coffee break? Then why aren't you sitting and learning? If this is who you are. So how do you answer the question, Ayaka? So you have to be open to hearing that. Hashem doesn't want us to get lost. He wants us to learn and to daven and do mitzvahs b'simcha, and to know that this is an expression of myself, not running away from myself, not avoiding myself. It's an expression. It's the deepest expression of who I am, is to be shomer Torah mitzvahs, not something artificial that I'm trying to copy or to imitate. That's not me. When a person feels that this isn't me, then you can't daven. You can't really sit and learn too much. Unless, you know, learning is easy because you enjoy learning. It's smart, but davening, it's almost impossible. This is not me. Mitzvahs, you try to finish them up as fast as you can. Pesach, somebody else will make Pesach for me. Not me. It's not you. Pesach doesn't work for me. No, you're supposed to work for Pesach. It's not supposed to work for you. But it doesn't work for you, Pesach. It doesn't speak to me. It doesn't speak to you. Because everything was reversed. If a person enters into the world of Pesach and tries to find Pesach within himself, and tries to feel what it means to eat, what's Yitzias Mitzrayim? What does it mean to be a Ben Chayrin? What's Chayrus? What does it mean? So then, he doesn't have to go anywhere and he could have Pesach. He doesn't have to look for Pesach by Yanim. Everybody's looking for Pesach somewhere else. Why do you have to go someplace else to find Pesach? Pesach is by you. Why do you have to look for Pesach someplace else? The Torah is because you don't believe that there's any Pesach inside of you, so you have to find it somewhere else. It's like that with everything. You have on Purim, you have guys that get themselves stoned and smashed, and that's going to make them happy. Then they wake up afterwards. Besides, they missed Maariv and whatever. They wake up. No, I'm happy. The day after Purim. What's the day after Purim? Shushan Purim. So, what's Shushan Purim for this person? That's how he's going to find happiness. If the inyan of ad liyada is something which is a avoda, b'emes and avodas Hashem, not a way of running away from Hashem, but a way of running towards Him, then that's part of the simcha of Purim. If it's a way of running away from yourself, so you just stammered a drunk, embarrassing. That's Purim. That's a simchas Purim. That's nothing. It's just like anybody else that's lighting up a joint, to taking a drink to forget about life for a while. As it goes in the old song. That's all it is. Just to forget about life for a while. And there are people that they try to do that for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. At some point, they usually break. And they usually bring down the people who are with them also. And that's how it is. Because it was never about returning to yourself. It was always about somebody else. So, that's the yesod of what he's talking about, of all that he's talking about. The mitzvahs and all the mitzvahs are there not to squash the self, not to crush the self. Hashem gave us Torah mitzvahs in order to draw out our deepest selves. And that's how He wants us to use Torah mitzvahs, not a way of self-destruction, but a way of self-revelation, of bringing out oneself. Let's start for a few minutes the next chelik on page Ayin Gimel. We'll move on there. Hatar nesenes lano hein es agvulus v'hein es achayfesh. And that's the only way we can understand how the Torah, on the one hand, the Torah gives us so many gvulos, so many restrictions, so many boundaries of things that we can't do and things that we must do. There's so much stuff. But the same Yiddishkeit, Zdavka, hein es achayfesh, it's giving you the opportunity to be free. The gvulas and the chofesh. That's the gvulas and the chofesh. The matz and the mor. Well, the Mora and the Matzah, right? So that's one of the biggest questions about Pesach night. There's so many steers. Matzah and Mora. Matzah is everything about Cherus, and Mora is about slavery. But that's the answer. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these things to do and not to do, which if you only see them on the surface, it's a form of enslavement. But the whole tachlis is that you should be free. And we couldn't become Am Yisrael until we were enslaved. That's the Metzius. So the same, the gvulas, all of the gvulas are there in order to give you that opportunity to come to Chayfesh, to come to the emes of who you are. He mishachreres osanu mikol ma shemishabedes ruchenu be'emes. Torah and a healthy life of Torah frees a person from all that's being mishabedet, that's really being mishabedet his ruach, that's really being mishabedet and that's enslaving him. That's when Yiddishkeit is. That's when a person's bemis is out of Mitzrayim. Pesach, instead of Pesach sending you deeper into Mitzrayim, Pesach is supposed to free you from Mitzrayim. But isn't it true that when you eat, now that it's already getting a little bit closer because there are 2 months of Adar, but it's getting closer to Pesach, a person starts to think when you hear the word Pesach. The first thing that comes to mind is not Gevald. The first thing is Oy Gevald. That's what Hashem meant. That's what Hashem's Baruch meant. A person should be afraid to be free. It's because the freedom, the way that we live Pesach, is not making us free. It's making us Meshubit. It's not making us free. So since you feel the Shubit, it means you never left Mitzrayim. So then the whole Indian of Pesach is just deeper in Mitzrayim. You feel that the whole year you were not in Mitzrayim, and by Pesach you were in Mitzrayim. Isn't that the most ironic thing? The whole year I'm free. But now it's Pesach, so I'm in Mitzrayim. I'm a slave. It's supposed to be the other way. Avad Ma'im L'Par of Mitzrayim. It's supposed to now I got out. But the way people think is, the whole year I could do whatever I want, except when it comes to Pesach. And that's where the whole union of the hotels came from. Of running away. How did it come from? I'm not talking about the 5% that they're not healthy, God forbid, they're not well, and they can't make Pesach, all that other stuff. Where did it come from? The whole culture that's already been in the newspaper since Yom Kippur. Advertising. The Passover getaway. Because the Hashem as well ever had such a thing in mind. You're not going away from Mitzrayim, you're going into Mitzrayim when you go through these things. Because it's the biggest shibud of all. That you're so far, far from Yetzias Mitzrayim that you're afraid of being free from Mitzrayim. So what do you do during Pesach? You go to Mitzrayim. And it's, because why? Because you see Pesach as being a shibud. When the whole thing of Pesach was to free you from a shibud. Was to make you the person who's free from being a shibud. But since you see Pesach as being a shibud, and being without the all of worrying about chametz, or the all of worrying about having to clean and to prepare a seder, whatever, the big deal. So instead of all of that all, I am free. And all the advertisements are making pictures of people who are free. Everybody's happy. In Puerto Rico and in Cancun, they're all happy people. It's the most pathetic thing on earth. And they talk and think that they're happy. Why? Because I'm not like the poor Jalabas back at home. They're in Mitzrayim. I'm in Cancun. What are Achmanis? It's a Shibud. Because Pesach is Mishabed. You feel that Pesach is a Shibud for you. Pesach is Mishabed Yeruah. Pesach is to let you free, to be free, to be who you are. And now you're sitting in some dining room listening to other people singing Zmiris and somebody that's Eino Bein Bris was schwitzing over your lunch, literally perspiring into your food. So what do you think? I worked in kitchens, literally perspiring into your food, and you're sitting there with your finger up eating your $500 lunch that somebody else schwitzed into, who's a drug addict. on top of everything else. And there's a suffix whether it's kosher or it's not kosher. We're getting close to the second month of Adar. It gets close to Purim. But this is exactly what this means. He mishachreros eshanim b'kol mashu mishabed eshuchene be'emes. Mashu mishabed eshuchene be'emes. Yiddishkeit, Pesach, frees you from what's really being mishabed you. And it, therefore it frees your ruach. But if you're a magushim dika person, then the ruach is what's mishabed you. Then you feel that you're mishubed to Yiddishkeit. And you have to get free of that. How do you get free from Yiddishkeit? You go away from it. How do you go away from it? Somebody else makes Pesach. Because why? Pesach is a shibud. But if you're looking for ruchnius, if you're looking to come to Bem as who you are, and the deepest essence of who you are, then Pesach frees you and allows you to come to that part of who you are, to the place of who you are. But if you're looking for Gashmias, if you're not looking for ruchnius, if you're looking for Gashmias, then what do I need this for? It's a huge headache. I have to bend down, me. I have to bend down and clean. Even though, of course, there's a whole staff of cleaning people in the house that work for you, because this is the five towns. Everybody's got their friend from Guatemala or something. So this is also, boy, vai, oi, vai, oi, vai. And then I have children that want to come over, oi, the married children, oi, gewalt, 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 gewalt. How Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us such a religion? What do you do to us? Hmm? I'm making jokes, it's not funny. It's the emes. This is so hard for me. It was so hard for me. This is so hard for me. Because it's about, you're not trying to be, you're not worried about your ruach, you're worried about your guf. If you're worried about freeing up your ruach, there's no greater freedom than being in your own house, in your own bed, with your own family, with your own food, with the people that you love around the table. Not, you'll excuse me, a couple of Knanim that are serving you supper. There's nothing that can be happy. If happiness is something which is inside of you, if it's the ruchnis of Pesach that you're looking for, the ruchnis is inside of you. Pesach is there. You don't have to go anyplace else for Pesach. What are you running around looking for Pesach in some exotic spot? They want to make it more exotic. And there was some, my wife showed me yesterday in the newspaper, there was something where they have now, there's a, this wasn't about Pesach, it's, but in the mix, it was a, an advertisement for some kosher cruise, and the theme of the cruise is Eretz Yisrael. Listen to this. They're not going to Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to Eretz Yisrael. They're going like to Bermuda or something. It's like someone, but it's not going to Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to have, because of the war, you understand me. So they're not doing their mission actually in Eretz Yisrael. They're going on a mission to Bermuda. But they have, on the boat, the theme is Israel. So they're going to have Tchina and Chumas. And I'm not joking. And they're advertising, they're having different stands, like in different things in the boat. That's the Israel experience. That you're going to feel that you're in Israel on your $25,000 cruise. I don't know what they cost. On your expensive cruise where you're going to Bermuda, that you should feel like you're in Israel. Did you ever see anything so pathetic? I who would sign up for such a thing? If I want to go to Israel, go to Israel. I'm going to go on a boat to Bermuda. It was something even worse than Bermuda. I don't even know the name of the place. I'm going to go on a boat somewhere. But has the theme is Israel. The theme is the war. The theme is October 7th. So we're going to invite some Israeli soldiers, and we're going to have maybe some families of refugees, and we're going to have a lecture on the boat about October 7th. Well, and this way we're all going to Israel, except we're making a stop over in Bermuda and then coming back to New York. How'd you go to Israel? The answer is, I had the October 7th pavilion on deck. And there was some soldier that they got who deserves a nice. He deserves to go on a boat. He should go on a boat and enjoy himself. And we should pay for these guys to go on a boat to take a little bit of a break instead of going to Bermuda. Let them go to Bermuda and take a break. But they're going to have a soldier on the boat, so therefore you don't have to feel bad. It's really a spiritual adventure. Just the way that they give you all the famous speakers and lecturers that come to the Pesach program, this way you don't have to feel bad. It's a spiritual adventure. The biggest spiritual adventure is saying Manishtana over your own table. That's the biggest spiritual adventure. That's what Hashem wanted us to have. Not to go on a boat someplace, or to go find someplace else. But all of this is because it's not you. It's not about you. It's not about the elokus that's inside of you. It's not about neshamish nesata bi tahirihi. Nesata bi tahirihi. Inside of me. And the whole binyan of Yiddishkeit has to come from within yourself. And that's what Rav Kook says, that if you don't return to your own neshama, you can't return to Hashem. You're deceiving yourself. You think you're getting closer to Hashem by running away from your neshama. There's no such thing. You could act like you're closer to Hashem. You could write you could wear the right clothing. You could say all the words, you know, and you could pick up like some of the Yiddishisms and say like the you know, you could change your. That's another thing you see with a lot of the flippers. They should all be well. That they, you know, they went to school first. They were doing the Shabbat thing, the Sukkot thing, right? So then they flipped out. So now you have to switch to using Haimish Lashon Kodesh. So they end up with their davening like mixing together kommetzes and pasaks and sofs and tufs and so like a whole mess because now I want to be like you know more yeshivish. So I'm saying you know Shabbat. Like, you know, they say Shabbos and say Shabbat, but there's no such thing as Shabbat. Or whatever. You know, all the confusion that came from being in the modern school, and then you're trying to adjust to the, you want to do the frum thing, so now you're talking like you're trying, you want to, and you also want to use some Yiddish words that never come out right. Or some language of learning that doesn't sound normal, because you want to be like everybody else. All this stuff is shtiyot. Or shtosim, if you prefer. Shtosim and havolim has nothing to do with being an Eved Hashem. Being an Eved Hashem means being honest and being real. That's all. And serving Kodesh Baruch the best way you can. Being Eilecha Yid. That's all Hashem Baruch wants from us. We should be Eilecha Yid. We should be honest and Eilecha Yid. And not to play games and make believe. And when we do that, then we find within ourselves all the wonderful gifts that Hashem. Through Torah Mitzvahs, we could find the greatest happiness. But if you're playing the game, then Torah Mitzvahs doesn't work for you. It just doesn't. It can make you feel like you're meshubit. You have so many shibudim, you're suffocating from all the shibudim. I have to go to Slichus. I have to go to Minyan. I have to sit in the sukkah. I have to do this. I have to dress this way. Everything's a shibud, it's a shibud. It's mamish mitzvah. But when it's lived the right way, it's the most liberating thing in the world is to be a Jew. There's nothing that gives a person more freedom and more chiyus than sitting in a sukkah on sukkahs and davening and learning mitzvahs. But if a person is not working on that within himself and is being done in a very silly and superficial way, so then it's off to Cancun. That's all. Just off to Cancun with everything. Hashem is supposed to help us that we should be able to eat.